This sermon is brought to you from the pulpit of Parkway Baptist in Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
I want you to open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 18, and we're going to start a brand new series over the next couple weeks, and we're just going to simply entitle it, Tough Times. And so what do you do when you're going through tough and difficult times? Tonight you're going to find by illustration of Moses that Moses learned to pull together with the people of God when they were facing a tough and difficult time. And in our nation and in our churches and within our families, when we are going through tough, difficult times, the best thing for us to do is to pull together. Nobody can survive in isolation. We all need one another. If you believe that, say amen. When you read the New Testament, you find that Paul writes about that in the 1 Corinthians, about how we are the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs to function together. And so what are we going to do during tough times? We pull together for the honor and glory of Christ, and God will bless us there. And so there's a great principle, illustration of this truth found tucked away in Exodus chapter number 18, and we'll begin looking at, let's just say, verse number 13. The Bible says, and it came to pass on the morrow or tomorrow that Moses sat to judge the people. Listen to this. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto eve?" Verse 15, and Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to require of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." Look at verse 17. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is what, church? Not good." I want you to be seated. We're going to talk about pulling together tonight, and hopefully this will be an encouragement to you, and you can apply this situation to our nation, to our church, to your family, to your company. When we are pulling together in the right direction, God will always bless. If you believe that, say amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lead us, guide us, and direct us. Lord, help us to be more like you each and every day. And as the people of God, as we work here at Parkway Baptist, Lord, may you give us the mindset, Lord, and the heart, Lord, to pull together with one another, going in the same direction for the honor and the glory of Christ, and we will thank you for it, and all God's people can say, amen. Let me tell you, in my years of ministry, I have found that there are three types of people in the church. Three types of people in every single church. It doesn't matter if it's a Baptist church, a Pentecostal church, a Catholic church, doesn't matter what type of church it is, there's always three types of people in every single church. Number one, you have those who are leaders in the church. These are the people that are leading the people of God. These are the people that God has called to lead. And let me just say this, the leadership of the church is always directed by its pastor. It always finds its leadership under the direction of its pastor. If there's one thing that I have taught you in the almost 15 years of ministry behind this pulpit, is that you are to honor and to respect the man of God, and as God leads the man of God, the people are to follow. Now, I'm not preaching out of some book that I have written. I'm telling you what the Bible has to say, and if you believe it, say amen. And so the church finds its direction. I would go as far as to say this, a church without a pastor is a church without a direction. God doesn't necessarily bless the church, God blesses his man. And so when God's blessing is on the man, it's the overflow that goes out to the people of God. You find this over and over again in the Bible. It wasn't necessarily God blessing the children of of Israel as much as it was God blessing Moses. And as Moses was in a right relationship, as Moses was walking with God, as God's Spirit was moving Moses, then the people of God, they were able to feel the effects of that, and God blessed. And so God has an organization of leadership. He has a headship within the church. And so there are those that are called to lead. We would have our pastors. We would have our deacons here. We have our staff, our Sunday school teachers. We have our other leaders in our other ministries that are helping to lead us. And aren't you thankful for a leader that took time to invest in you? I think about all the many leaders in my life, the pastors that I've had, the deacons that have encouraged me, musicians along the way, choir directors along the way that have invested in my life up on all of these years. And I'm grateful for their investment. I am grateful for their time and their sacrifice. So I'm thankful for the leadership within the church, whether it's a pastor, a deacon, a godly Sunday school teacher, a youth worker who's ever been leading me. I am thankful that God has placed these people in my life. And so within the church, there are leaders within the church. Not only are there leaders, but the second type of person is laborers. Those are the people that the leaders are leading. Let me say this, both the leader and the laborers, they are essential when it comes to the work of the ministry. If you believe that, say amen. Both leaders and laborers. You see, God calls the leader to lead, but then also God calls the laborers to buy into the vision of the leadership, and they together do the work of God that God has called them to do. You see this over and over again in the Bible. You've got every Paul needs a Timothy, and every David needs a Jonathan. And every person within this ministry that is a leader, you need a partner that's going to labor with you and help you to be what God has called you to be. There again, not only am I very thankful for all the leaders within my life, I am certainly grateful for all the laborers. The things that have happened over the course of this church ministry could have never took place without the men and women investing into the ministry and laboring with me. There's no possible way that a pastor nor a president can ever move a group of people in the direction it needs to go without people following the direction of the leader, without the laborers. Listen, our nation will never ever be what God wants it to be until we decide to get not only behind God and God's plan for our nation, but also to support those who are in the office of the White House, those in government, that we begin praying for them and asking God to give them wisdom and discernment to help our nation. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Hey, I think we can give the Lord a hand clap for that. I'm not trying to preach politics right now, but I think it's disgraceful what is happening to the President of the United States here in America today. God has given us leaders. God has given us laborers. So within the church, there is both leaders and there is laborers. But you said, preacher, there was three types of people. What's the third type? The third type is the lookers. And I'm not talking about people who look sharp, right? I'm talking about people who just look around. It's sad today that only, 20% or 80% of the work of the church is done just by 20% of the people. And there's a lot of people that should be engaged, and a lot of people should be involved, but instead of being a leader or a laborer, they just decide that they're going to be a looker. Somebody said this. He said that the church is full of willing people, some willing to work and others willing to let them. And isn't that a sad indictment on the church today? There are some people in this church, right here at Parkway Baptist, they are so willing to jump in at a moment's time. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a cleanup job, whether it's going on the mission field, whether it's giving, going, or growing, no matter what it is, they are willing because God has placed within them this servant's heart, that it's a see and do mentality, that this is what God needs, and this is what God desires, and this is what needs to be done within the church. And they are so willing to step up and say, hey, if you need somebody, call upon me. They are willing to work. And there are so many others, though, that are willing just to let them work while they idly sit by and do nothing. You know, this is the bottom line. Sitting in pews all across America, and sadly, even within our church, there are individuals who have become spectators instead of a participant in the ministry. God never called you to be a spectator. God never called you just to sit, soak, and sour. God called you to serve. Somebody say amen. And for some reason, we get so caught up in these tough times, you know, whether it's with our own problems, whether it's with the problems around us, whether it's happening in the culture, in the church, wherever it may be, it seems like that the devil kind of sidetracks us and we begin to sit and we begin to soak and we begin to sour instead of getting in there and serving and doing what God wants us to do. We don't need to be spectators. Every person that's a member of Parkway Baptist, you need to be an active participant within the service of the Lord. If you believe it, say amen. You know, a little boy was talking to his mom one time, and he said, "Mom," he said, "how much will you pay me for being a good boy? How much money will you give me? How much money will you pay me for being a good boy?" She said, "Well, son, why don't you just be good for nothing like your daddy?" All right? You know, I think there's a lot of people that are basically, you know, they're just good for nothing, meaning that they're good, but they're doing nothing within the house of God. Good people. They love Jesus. They love the Bible. They love us, but they're doing nothing when it comes to actively being involved within the service. Now, I don't know of anything more discouraging to a pastor and to the people than when there is a group that has decided, "I'm going to sit, soak, and sour." It's discouraging to the laborers, and it's discouraging to the leaders. There's nothing more damaging than we decide to be idle on God and not do what God has called us to do. And this is exactly what is happening in the life of Moses. It is not only discouraging Moses, but it's also discouraging the people. Moses, at this time of his life, God has blessed him, and the people have moved out of Egypt. They are crossing into the promised land, and it's been very evident that the hand of God, listen, the hand of God has been upon the nation of Israel. The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, "Then Jethro, the priest of the Midian, Moses' father-in-law, he heard of all that God had done for Moses." I mean, it's everywhere. God's hand was upon Moses. God was blessing the man of God. Notice what he says, "And for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt." When you read the text, it's evident God's hand is right here on Moses. They're doing the will of God. They're walking in the ways of God, and God is blessing them. The good hand of God was upon these people. And the Bible says that when Moses' family came there, that they became very excited about what God was doing. Not only was the blessings of God upon the nation of Israel and the man of God, but listen, the people were excited to see what God was doing. They had eyes of faith, and they could see what the Lord was doing in the lives of people. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, "And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done in Israel." Look at verse 10. "Blessed be the Lord who had delivered you," a little further, "who had delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians." Verse 11. "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods of Egypt." Hallelujah. And so here his family is seeing the blessings of God. Here his family has identified that God's good hand is upon this congregation of people. And they are rejoicing in the fact that God is good. How many believes that God is good? Somebody, huh? You believe God is good. I believe God is good all the time. And so we rejoice in that, over what the Lord's doing within our heart and within our life. But here's the problem. Even though there was excitement, even though there was some rejoicing, the ministry was massively growing. It was growing to a point that many people were being sidelined just watching Moses do all the work. And I want you to understand this. Blessings often bring burdens. Remember that I said that. Blessings often bring burdens. As God blesses us, the burdens will increase. They go hand in hand, by the way. As God begins to give us more territory, and God gives us more people, and there's more things to do, there is going to be burdens that we're going to have to bear. Not only does blessings often bring burdens, but you've heard this in the gym before. Those of you that are sports people, you know that gain often brings pain. You're not going to grow You're not going to be able to achieve. You're not going to be able to do what you're supposed to do if there's no pain involved. And so if God's going to give us gain, if God's going to bless us, there's going to be some pain along the way. There's going to be some burdens that we're going to have to bear. Prosperity often brings problems. And let me tell you this, that growth and grief go hand in hand. As God begins to prosper and God begins to help us to grow and we have new territory and new opportunity, that's the positive. But the negative is there's burdens we have to bear. There's going to be a little pain along the way. Some things are not necessarily going to be very comfortable at first. There's going to be some problems and some challenges we're going to have to work through. And there's definitely going to be some grief along with that growth. I want you to know, they go hand in hand. You say, well, that's terrible, preacher. No, that's not a negative, that's a positive. That's signs of God's blessings. This is signs of God prospering. This is signs of God moving and doing something in the lives of his people. And so Moses finds himself with this massive growth problem. The people are growing. There's more needs that are happening each and every day. And Moses finds himself in a dilemma in verse number 13. Look what the text says. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. Moses is working from sunup to sundown. He is engaged in intense counseling. And I can tell you this, that preaching and teaching and counseling, especially when it's emotionally attached based, it can become draining on an individual. Not only is he dealing with his own problems and his own life and his family dynamic, he is meeting with the masses. And from morning to evening, the Bible says he is counseling them. So Moses' father-in-law decides to pay him a visit. And when the family comes in verse 14 and verse number 17, his father-in-law couldn't believe what he sees. He's shocked in verse 14 to verse 17. He sees Moses working day and night. He sees the neglect of the family. He sees the neglect of his own faith. And he begins to admonish him and encourage him to do something about it. And here's what he says, and this is what I want you to hear. He tells Moses, Moses, there's two things that's going to happen to your ministry. If you don't get this thing worked out and start pulling together with these men and pulling together with the people around you, both leaders and laborers coming together, not being spectators, but being a participant. If that doesn't happen, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to be inefficient in your ministry, and it's going to become ineffective. You're not going to find the work happening and growing and doing what God wants you to do. Listen, I want to be efficient and I want to be effective here at Parkway Baptist. But it's not going to happen if I'm pulling the load alone. You've got to do your part. Somebody say amen. You got to do your part. Every person pulling together. Every person moving in the same direction. And as we move, we tackle the burdens. As we move, we nurse the pains. As we move, we handle the problems. As we experience the grief, we transform it into growth. And we move together for God's honor and for God's glory. So let me just do this tonight, just in the few minutes that we have. There's a danger in any growing fellowship, and I believe that our church is a growing fellowship. God has blessed us in many ways. God has added new people, and we praise the Lord for the folks that are coming and getting plugged in and finding new things within their spiritual life. And so there's going to be some things that we're going to have to do in order to continue that. And what Moses finds is three principles that governs and guides his life. These didn't come from Moses. These came from the spectators from the outside. This comes from his father-in-law. And his father-in-law has wisdom. He's been around, he's seen a lot of things, and as he is watching the work on a daily basis, Moses' father-in-law gives him three principles that we can learn from. Number one, I want you to write these down. This is what we do in tough times. This is how we continue to pull together. Number one, there are limits that must be sensed. Within any ministry, within any business, within any life, You've got to understand your limitations. You got to know how far that you can go before you break. You need to know how far that the bow can be stretched before it can't be stretched anymore. You've got to know and understand your limitations. So many of you, and I'm guilty of the same thing, we try to take on more than what we can handle. And a bow that is constantly bent, it is going to break. And what happens in the church and what happens in the ministry is there's ministry burnout that takes place. And when ministry burnout takes place, because there's a few doing so much, the devil comes in and begins to dismantle and destroy. And all of a sudden, you find a bunch of discouraged individuals. And so the Bible says that Moses needs to understand here his limit. It's got to be sensed. Now, Moses is even as great as a man that Moses is. We're talking about Moses, man, huh? We're talking about the greatest prophet mentioned in the Old Testament. God's man, Moses, as great as Moses was, he could not handle everything that was happening to him within the ministry. One guy said this, a great man can do the work of 10 men. I believe that. There's some guys in here that can do the work of 10 men. Chuck Brown can do the work of 10 men. I've seen him do it before. There's a lot of guys, they can do the work of 10 men. But he went on to say, but it's even a greater man who can get 10 men to do the work. It's one thing to work to the point of exhaustion, but it's altogether different when you can delegate and you can empower and you can encourage and you can move the church forward where not just one man is doing it, but everybody's grabbing hands together, moving forward for the honor and the glory of Christ. Andy Stanley wrote a book years ago, and the book's entitled Seven Practices of an Effective Ministry. And though I'm not the biggest Andy Stanley fan, what Andy said in the book was great. And here's what he said. He said, your potential to make an impact with your life is directly related to your willingness to narrow your focus. Are you listening tonight? You hear what he said? To maximize your potential, to be all that God wants you to be, you've got to narrow your focus. And so you work not from your weakness, but you work from your strength as you give God honor and glory. Hey, I'm preaching right now. Are you mopping up what I'm spilling? Somebody say amen. This is good stuff for us tonight. And so here's where Moses is at. And so Moses has two problems. His problems is our problem. Number one, he was burdened with activity. He's burdened with activity. Look at verse 13. The Bible says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge. He's judging the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. You say, Brother David, what is he doing? Look at verse 15. The Bible says, and Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come to me to require of God, so when they have a matter, when they have a problem, they come unto me. And then I judge, or I counsel between one another, and I do make them to know the statutes of God and his laws. And so Moses is burdened down with all of this activity. I want you to note something about Moses. Moses is not a lazy individual. As a matter of fact, he's probably the first mention of the first workaholic recorded in history. Moses gets up early every single morning, and he goes on down to the office, and he has a Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and all God's people said, amen, right? He goes down to the office, he's got his coffee in his hand, and he is there early in the morning. The door is open. We are open for business. And from morning unto evening, he is engaged in all sorts of activity. He does this for so long that he works 6 days a week without any vacation, without any time off. He is a workaholic. He is enamored with the ministry. And he is busy. As he is busy with all this activity, two bad things are happening to Moses. Number one, because he's a workaholic, because he's doing everything by himself, because he's so enamored and caught up with what's going on, number one, he is neglecting his family. You read in verse 5 and verse number 8, you know, Moses is being blessed by God. The people are being blessed by God. And so the in-laws decide to come by and visit Moses. And the Bible says in verse 5, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses under the wilderness where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, has come down to thee and thy wife and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. And the Bible says he goes out there and he respects him. He kisses him. And they asked each other of their welfare and they came into the tent. Now here is his father-in-law, here is his father-in-law's wife, their sons, the family has come by. And Moses doesn't even recognize the boys, doesn't recognize the wife, goes right to the father-in-law, they sit down, and guess what they do? They start talking business. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh. He's not asking how his father-in-law is. He's not asking how the family is. There's no fellowship around that. He goes straight into the business. And he talks about what God did in the land of Egypt and how God brought them out of here. And he talks about how he's counseling people and how he's doing this. And Jethro's just taking all of this in. You listen to me and you listen to me carefully. If you neglect your family, you are not doing God a service. Somebody say amen. I want you to know, friend, that it's not the church that comes first. It is God, then your family, then the church. Somebody say amen. The Bible tells us in Psalms 127, verse 2, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. When your work is first and your family is second, you're a workaholic. I'll never forget years and years ago, I counseled a guy, and he was so messed up with his work that his family is falling apart. They're in my office, and he will not turn his beeper off. And his beeper just keeps going off, and he's checking it and checking it to find, and his wife's in tears. They're divorced today and have been for many years. His wife is in tears, and the very reason why they were there, he's married to his job instead of married to a wife. And I got so upset with this guy because his poor wife is crying her eyes out in the office wanting to reconcile her marriage. He keeps answering calls from his beeper. I finally stood up and said, give it to me. Put it in my hand. If you don't put that beeper in my hand, I said, I'm coming around this desk and I'm going to take it from you. That's exactly what I told him. And he got all scared and all nervous and laid it down and we were able to talk. He was married to his job. I want you to know, friend, that you need to listen. If your work is first and your family is second, you are a workaholic. And that's what's happening to Moses. He's so burdened down with all this activity that he is too busy to be with his family. Listen, if you are too busy for your family, you are just too busy. James Merritt said it well when he said this. He says, there's not a greater danger to the minister than putting the church before his family. I tell you that it is both unbiblical and ungodly. I unashamedly tell you the church is not first or even second in my life. It's a distant third. God is first and my family is second. If this is not true, I am not even fit to be a minister. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, for if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So here Moses is enamored with all this activity. He's neglecting his family, and he's not only neglecting his family, but he's neglecting his faith. Look what the Bible says in verse number 19. The Bible says in verse 19 that he says, hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. Moses, make sure that you are not neglecting. You're spending so much time with the people that you're not spending enough time with God. You know, you can spend so much time working and laboring in the ministry that we forget the very reason why we are called to be Christians. We're to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe us, say amen. So not only is he just all burdened down with all this activity, verse 13, he's broken by anxiety. Look at verse 17 and verse 18. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is what? Not, what's the next word, church? Good. This is not good for you. Look at verse 18. that will surely wear away. I want you to underscore those words, wear away. That will surely wear away. Listen to this. Both thou and this people. Moses, what you're doing in all this working, doing it all by yourself, it's not only going to harm you, it's hurting the people. It's hurting them. And can I tell you, friend, when you decide to be a spectator instead of a participant, you're not just hurting yourself, you're hurting everybody around you. You're hurting every single child. You're hurting every single laborer. You're hurting every single leader. You're not just hurting yourself and damaging your testimony and letting the devil get a hold of you. No, you are hurting everybody around you because we are the body of Christ. If you believe it, say amen. And so this is what's going on. And so Moses, he's broken by all of this anxiety that has happened. And his father-in-law says, wait a minute. You cannot burn the candle at both ends because the wax is almost gone. And there are some of you here tonight, you're burning the candle at both ends. You're going and going and going and doing and doing and doing so much that you're not spending time with God, that you're not lining your priorities up, that you got everything else under the sun that's more important than what you're supposed to be doing for the cause of Christ. And he says, you can't be doing this. You are going to wear away. You see that phrase, wear away, in verse 18? Literally, that word means to fade away. It means to become old. He's saying, Moses, you're aging before your time. You guys ever seen those pictures of the presidents? How they start in office and then 4 years later, they are as gray-headed as they can be. You know what I'm talking about? And they just age. I mean, the wrinkles come on, the hair comes out, and the gray comes in. You know why? They're doing this. They are wearing themselves away. And Moses says, this is not, or his father-in-law says, it's not only good for you, but it's not good for the people. So we need to understand there are limits that must be sensed. Second of all, not only limits that must be sensed, but there are loads which must be shared. Look at verse 18. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. One of the biggest problems in our Baptist churches that we face within the ministry is ministry burnout. Ministry burnout. That's why volunteers and laborers are so important to the body of Christ. We need both leaders and lay people to partner together and to work for the cause of Christ. As I said, every Paul needs a Timothy, every David needs a Jonathan. And if you think you can do it by yourself, you're only lying to yourself. We need the people of God to come together and pull together and do something for the cause of Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Amen. Notice what he says. He says the size of the work is too big. What's the size? 3 million people. Moses is the pastor of 3 million people. And there's no way that he's going to be able to do this day in and day out all by himself. I got news for you. It doesn't matter if it was 3 million, 3,000, or 300, or even 30. There's no way that the work of the ministry can be done by one man alone. Even Jesus called out 12 disciples, apostles of Christ, to help him with the work of the ministry. And so we need one another. Are you hearing my heart tonight? We need one another. The size of the work is too much. When it comes to any pastor, not just this pastor, any pastor that cares for his church, there is an ongoing, everyday list that continues to grow for the modern-day pastor. You talk to any pastor around, and they will say, first of all, there's the winning of the lost. There is the dealing with the depressed. Sometimes this is day-to-day, every single day. There's the winning of the lost. There's the dealing with the depressed. There's the instruction of children within the church. There's the guiding of the younger people. There's the strengthening of the older people. There's the visiting of the sick, the comforting of the bereaved. There's the planning of multiple programs. There's the conducting of meetings and services. There's the preparation of messages. There's the writing of letters. There's the conducting of weddings, the conducting of funerals. There's the administration of the finances of the church. There's the leading of the worship of the services. There's the handling and the encouraging of the staff that he works with. There's the connecting with the missionaries that they partner with. There is the upkeep of the facilities so that the church is looking good and that the roof doesn't fall down on our head and that the air is working. Somebody say amen. There's a leadership within his own home. There's the praying of the pastor. And today, he's got to be a graphics arts designer. He's got to know the intricates of the internet. He's got to be able to build an app. He's got to be able to do all these other things on a day-to-day basis. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm wanting you to see a point. There's no possible way that one man can facilitate the entire ministry of the church. If you believe that, say amen. It's my point, and this is Moses' point. This is his father-in-law's point. The size of the work is too much. It's not good for you, and it's not good for the people. And so what's the solution? The solution is verse 19 and verse 21. It's the sharing of the work. He talks about the size is too big for you, but Moses, let me give you a great idea, and this is a great idea for us. Verse 19, hearken now unto thy voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them the ordinance of the law, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people, listen, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, placing such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. Man, that's good counsel. Somebody say amen. Share the work. Get others involved. Moses is to do three things. Number one, he is to enlist others. Can I tell you tonight that it is your job as a member of Parkway Baptist, it is your job to enlist others to be engaged in the ministry. If you see somebody being a spectator and they are a member, I want you to prod them on to be a participant. If you see somebody who's supposed to be singing in a choir and they're not, go grab them by their ankles and pull them up here. Amen. All right? You have that liberty to do that. Give them a call. Let them know you miss them. You are to enlist others. This is what Moses is to do. You go find other men that are able to do these things. Somebody's missing out of your Sunday school class, call them. Somebody's not being active in the children's ministry, call them. Somebody's not here on a Wednesday night, call them. Engage them, enlist them. If you believe that, someone say amen. And so this is what Moses is to do. He is not only to enlist them, but he's also to equip them. Now it's one thing to enlist, and it's all another thing to equip. It's great to enlist people, but you got to tell them what to do. You got to train them. You got to coach them. You got to love on them. You've got to invest some time in them. And this is what we find in verse number 20. He says, and thou shalt teach them the ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them. As a leader, you're to be a teacher. As a leader, you're to be a participant. You don't stand around with a hard hat on telling everybody else what to do. You get your hands dirty at the same time. God never called you as a leader to sit on some type of heavenly hammock, you know, and think you can sip on lemonade while everybody else is doing the work. You get your hands dirty. You get your feet dirty. You work with the people. Somebody say amen. And so he says, you teach them. How? By showing them what God wants. You are to enlist them. You are to equip them. And verse 22, you are to encourage them. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto you, but all these small, minor matters, They should have the ability to judge it for themselves. Now, I will say this. You guys are great at protecting me from that. Because you've learned in your walk with Christ, you've learned how to take the smaller matters and you've learned to judge them and to put pieces back together. You've learned to take the Humpty Dumpties that break in front of you and you learn to put the pieces back together and put them back on the wall. And so hats off to you tonight. Not only have you done that in the past, you need to do more of it today. We continue to move forward, judging the small little matters, so the little bitty matters that should be handled by leaders and by staff and Sunday school teachers and wise men and wise women within the church, spiritual men and women, the small tiny matters are judged immediately by the Word of God and the will of God. The things that are a tougher challenge, we work on it together. And this is what his father-in-law told him. I want you to enlist, I want you to equip, and I want you to encourage. You know, there's an old saying that says, many hands make light work, and that is true. You said, Brother David, why are these two principles so important? Because the last one comes into view. Verse 23, there are lives that will be saved. That's why these first two principles are so important. You need to understand your limitations. You need to understand that other laborers need to be engaged and involved. Why? Because lives will be saved. Look at verse 23. And thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in what, church? Peace. Isn't that what the world is looking for? They're looking for peace. I want you to know we have the answer. It's in the Prince of Peace. Somebody said this, and it was very well written. We'll close with this. He said, or it may have been a woman, I'm not for sure, but the writer says, I am one and only one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by the grace of God, that I will do. Are you doing your part as a member of Parkway Baptist? You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. And the people that I look at tonight across this auditorium, and even on a Sunday, I want to be able to say every time I pray, and every time I see your face in my mind when I'm studying, and when we meet one another on the street, and when we're engaged in ministry together, that we are a group of people that we're not part of the problem. We are the solution. We are the church, the bride of Christ, the redeemed of the Lamb, washed in His blood. We have His royal name. We have the authority of God's Word upon us. Jesus said, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. So let's be part of the solution. Amen? Let's move that direction. Let's pull together. I think God will continue to bless us. If you believe that, say amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for this night, Lord, of ministry within the Word of God. And Lord, it's my heart's desire, Lord, to teach and to train and to encourage and to enlist, Lord, all these things we talked about as we labor together. Lord, tonight we have many folks laboring within our ministry with our children tonight. God, thank you for every leader. Thank you for every laborer. Lord, help us, Lord, not to be lookers within the church. Lord, my desire is that every member finds their niche. They understand how they are wired. They understand their spiritual DNA. What you have called them to, what you have gifted them with. And Lord, that they would use that within the body of Christ to be a modern day Barnabas, being an encourager. So Father, we know that the work is too heavy for one individual. Lord, for those who tonight may feel isolated, that they feel like they're doing it by themselves, God, I pray for them. I pray that you would give that Paul a Timothy. You would give that David a Jonathan. Lord, you would give them, Lord, a Barnabas within their life, someone to comfort, to help, and to guide, to laugh, to live, Lord, and to love. each and every day serving you. So, Father, I pray that you would lead us and guide us and direct us here tonight to be more like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, while your heads are bowed.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Parkway Baptist, please visit our website at www.parkwaybaptist.me. That's www.parkwaybaptist.me.